Today, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we extol you, and we honour you, Lord, and we ask that you speak to us today and show us clearly through your word the wonderful ways that you have prepared for us to go, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today we're looking at the first part in a sermon series called The Word of Faith in Our Mouth and in Our Heart. The Word of Faith in Our Mouth and in Our Heart. And the Bible tells us very clearly that Christian believers are nourished by the words of faith. It's something that has to come into our heart. We're going to see that the Word of God coming into our heart must then be released into the world around us through our mouth. And our mouth is very, very important in this. We can't just say, well, God's word is in our heart, but it's not coming out of our mouth, it's not being acted upon and so on. Because the evidence that the word of God is in your heart is that it's coming out of your mouth and that you are acting on it. Let's first of all look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. 1 Timothy 4 verse 6. And there's a part here I want to point out to us, which is quite relevant to us as Christian believers. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. And here we see Timothy. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So we see the words nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. And if you think about the word nourished, that tells us that good things are coming into that person's life. Nourished talks about being fed with food that produces strength. If you had physical food and it didn't have nourishment in it, it wouldn't produce strength in your physical body. It wouldn't allow your vital parts in your body to be operating properly. And there's lots of food that we know that is not very nourishing at all, but in fact acts against the body. Well, it's the same in the spirit realm. It's the same in our hearts, which is our spirit and soul, that there has to be nourishment for us to be able to grow. You know, as babes in Christ, we start off, and if we don't get anything as babes in Christ to feed us spiritually, we're going to stay in a stunted form or a stunted way. But as we get nourishment by the words of faith and good doctrine, we start to grow, we start to increase, we start to produce fruit in our lives because we're being nourished. You notice the words, it talks about words of faith, and that's the word of God which produces faith in our life. We're talking about the word of man. We're talking about the word of God that produces faith. That means we must put ourselves into an environment, for example, coming today, where we're allowing the words of faith to come into our heart. And that's going to give us nourishment. We must also put ourselves in an environment where there's good doctrine as opposed to bad doctrine. Yes, the Bible talks about bad doctrine, talks about false doctrine. So good doctrine will be teaching that's based on the Word of God. Good doctrine will cause a person's knowledge to increase in the Word of God, will cause them to understand how to walk by faith and how to operate in God and how to walk in the ways of God. You know, there's some people that they don't allow themselves to be exposed to good doctrine, and thereby they get led astray into error. And that's something that's to be avoided. Because if you want to be nourished in God, if you want to be nourished in God, then the words of faith must come in and good doctrine must come in as well. Because False doctrine will cause a person to stray, will cause a person to go off the path. Words of faith obviously will produce strength and will produce faith in a person's life. Let's continue on. We'll have a look at John 8, verses 30 and 32. We've seen this a number of times, but it's important for us to see what Jesus himself said about the importance of the Word of God in a believer's life and how they can increase in God. John chapter 8, verses 30 to 32. John 8, verses 30 to 32. Now Jesus was preaching, and as he was preaching, there were certain people that were hearing him, listening to him. And as they were listening to him, something happened in their heart. And they started to believe. And notice what it says in John 8, starting from verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, before we go on, let's think about this statement here. As he spake these words. So what was Jesus speaking? He was speaking the Word of God. He was speaking words which would, if a person latched on to them, would produce something. So as he spake these words, there were people that believed on him. It says many believed on him. That means they made him a foundation in their life. Believed on, not just believed in. So many believed on him, and they believed and trusted what he was saying. And verse 31 is very interesting. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he's talking to believers here. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And it's important for us to see that there must be a continuance, there must be a perseverance in the word of God for us to be disciples. Disciples are people that are disciplined, that are growing, that understand the teaching of the Master, the doctrine, the good doctrine that we read about before. But Jesus is saying to those which believed on him, to those who had become Christians, he's saying, or to those who had believed what he had to say, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. He's giving a condition there, isn't he? And that's a continuance in God's word, continuance in the word of God. And we know that Jesus said that the wise man builds his house upon the rock, and he said that that was the same as a person who listened or heard the words of Jesus and built his life upon them, acted on them, did them. So Jesus is saying a very similar thing here. He says, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe the reason a lot of people are not walking in freedom is because they don't know the truth. See, it's true. Where's knowledge? Where is knowledge? It's in the heart, isn't it? There has to be a seeding of the heart, and the word of God comes forth in the heart. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because that truth that you know, you'll act upon, and you'll believe, and there'll be a production of faith. So Jesus hinges our whole walk in him, in God, our whole walk of continuing in the Word of God as disciples, being disciples. So continuing in the Word of God. If you continue in my word, praise the Lord. If you look at John chapter 14, verses 22 to 24, Jesus speaks a lot about the word of God. He speaks a lot about the foundation of a Christian's life and how a person can grow in God. And he gives a very clear words here in John 14, 22 to 24. And you might say, well, how is God going to manifest himself in my life? How is he going to show himself to me or to those around me? How is it going to happen? Well, Jesus explains it here. He tells us how it can happen. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Okay, it's a question we can ask. How is it that you're going to manifest yourself or show yourself and your power to us who are believers and not to the world who aren't believers? How is that possible? How is that possible? Okay, so cast your mind back to what we just said in or read in John 8 about what Jesus said to those who just believed on him, if ye continue in my word. Okay, so you would expect that Jesus' answer to this question, how will you manifest yourself to us but not to the world, the answer to that question must be something about the word of God. Well, it is. Let's have a look at what Jesus says. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So, in other words, the word of God, the word which Jesus is speaking, is the word of God. It's not manufactured. It's the word of God. So you can see the answer that Jesus said about God manifesting himself to us but not to the world is because the world does not care about the word of God. The world is made up of those who are not born again, and if they could, they would live their whole life without even hearing anything about God. But those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, and that's why he says in verse 23, if a man love me. Remember, we've gone through love God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy might, and love thy neighbour as thyself. Remember that that's the first commandment, that first one, love God with all your heart. That's why Jesus said, if a man love me. In other words, if you put me first in everything, if you put me first, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, God's presence, the benefits, the blessings, everything associated with God being with you will be manifested to you. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Well, that's obviously the state of those in the world. But those who are not in the world, those who are in the kingdom of God, in the church, they should be responding to the words of God. They should be responding to the words of God. They shouldn't be like those in the world who are not responding to God's words at all. They're not continuing in the word at all. But those who are believers are responsive to the voice of the Master, are responsive to the shepherd and his leading, are responsive to what God wants to say, whether it be in correction or otherwise, are responsive continually to God. And we're talking about here in verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. We know that we must have the love of God foremost in our lives. Foremost in our lives. And Jesus repeats this whole theme right throughout verses chapter 14 and 15 of John. In fact, if you go back to verse 15, notice what Jesus says. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, where are the commandments of God? Well, it's in the word of God, because that's exactly what Jesus said in verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. So Jesus is God manifest in, was God manifest in the flesh, the Word of God is the Word of Jesus. We know that the commandments of God are contained in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if ye love me, keep my commandments, is not an optional thing, is it? It's something we must keep foremost in our minds. As we walk through life, as we walk on this earth, even though all around us is all types of rebellion and trouble and so on, we know that Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. As we trust him, as we know this, as we continue in his word, as we follow the shepherd. But we must be nourished. Nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. If we get into bad doctrine, we'll stray off the path. If we forsake the words of faith, we won't grow. We'll be stunted. Or we may even fall away, as some have done. But we don't want to be people that are like that. We want to be people that are nourished. The Bible talks about believers being planted in the house of the Lord like a tree. Well, trees don't get uprooted overnight and rush off, do they? They're planted. And where do they get their nourishment from? From the roots drawing out nourishment in the house of the Lord, in the house of God. And what's in the house of God? Well, there's the Word of God being preached. There's the Word of God being taught and upheld and so on. It's not being taught for nothing. It's being taught so that the people of God can be nourished and grow and strengthened, praise the Lord. Let's have a look at... We'll go next to Romans 10, verses 8 to 18. We'll go through these verses here. We're looking at the Word of God in our mouth and in our heart. The Word of God in our mouth and in our heart. Now, we've been looking today at the foundation that must be in a Christian's life. If we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the foundation is we say we love God and we keep his words. It's not an option, it's a way of life. We are new creatures in Christ. We have new things in our life, new desires. We desire the ways of God and the truth of God. Look at Romans 10, we'll start from verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Well, we see, once again, he talks about the word of faith. We saw before we needed to be nourished by the words of faith. So the word of faith which we preach. And we need to look at this scripture and say, okay, the word is nigh thee, it's near you, it's close to you. It's nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. It's not... If you're exposing yourself to the Word of God, you can't say, well, God's not speaking to me. Can you see what I'm saying? If you're exposing yourself to the Word of God, you're allowing the Spirit of God to use that Word in your heart. And then you must tune your ears. You must say, Lord, I submit myself to hear what you have to say. Verse 8, but what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So preaching is one way where the word of faith can get in your mouth and in your heart. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, when we first came to Christ, there must have been the gospel presented to us which said, Christ died and was raised from the dead because of man's sin. He died on the cross. He took man's sin upon himself. And now we have to confess him as our Lord and Saviour. We have to make a decision. And so when that gospel came, the gospel of salvation, the fact is that you must have responded and said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me. and that He rose again for me. I believe that, and that He is my Saviour and is my God, my Lord. And you believe that, and it says there's a wonderful promise there, thou shalt be saved. But notice it had to have the word of God coming to you to believe that. You had to have the gospel coming. If you go to, we won't turn to it now, but in Mark chapter 16, it says, he that believeth the gospel. So the gospel has to be presented to those who are currently outside of Christ so that they can believe. And that's how people get saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, within your heart there's a believing mechanism. With the heart man believeth. In your heart is made up of the spirit and soul. That's where your knowledge, your mind, will and emotions is resident in there. That's where you can make decisions for the Lord or against the Lord. There are some who reject the Lord and reject his words, and they make decisions in their heart. We can believe unto righteousness. We can believe unto other things as well with our heart. We can believe unto healing, unto prosperity, unto strength, unto direction. We can believe these things with our heart as long as it's based on the word of faith. And the word of faith comes from the Bible. Because if we don't base our believing on the word of God, then we're believing things that may be contrary to the word of God. But the word of faith is what produces faith. It says, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, there has to be in your heart resident the word of God, and then it comes out of your mouth, confession. You know, confession is made unto salvation, and salvation covers more than just being born again. Praise the Lord. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Notice they have to call upon him. They have to believe something. They would have believed the gospel presented. And when we call upon the Lord for anything, we have to believe him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Very good questions here. You can see the progression, can't you? There has to be a preacher. There has to be some sort of preaching or some sort of words coming to the person. And then they have to hear it. Notice they have to hear. And then they have to believe. They have to believe what they've heard. And then they have to call on the Lord. So you can see there's a progression. The preaching or the word of God comes to that person. That person could say, well, I will not hear. Or I'm not hearing you. I don't want to hear that. But they need to hear if they're to be saved. And then if a person's to grow in God, they also need to hear the preaching and grow in that by hearing, as it says there, and believing and calling upon the name of the Lord, or action. So there has to be action. So we see the progression. Preaching, or the word of God comes. Hearing, so that's a decision we make to hear. Believing, we also make that decision to believe. Yes, I believe. And action, which may be calling on the Lord or some other thing which the Lord commands. So the progression is there. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This talks about attitude. Attitude. Our attitude about the preaching of the gospel of peace, or preaching, should be, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring it. It's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful that there's glad tidings of good things coming through the preaching, through the word. Praise the Lord. If our attitude is, once again, I have to go to church, or whatever, that's not a good attitude. The attitude is, how beautiful. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So what is that saying to us? Well, some people do not hear, and they do not believe, and they do not therefore obey or act upon what they've heard or what has been presented. So the gospel, when the gospel is preached, when the word of God is preached, it doesn't automatically mean that the people who are in the congregation or where the word of God is presented, it doesn't automatically mean that those people are going to automatically hear or automatically believe or automatically act. No, there must be a decision in the heart, because then that decision in the heart will then produce that flow-on effect. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, so they haven't all acted on the word of God. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, so faith cometh by hearing, and then there's a believing and an acting. Notice, if there's no word of God, then faith will be absent as well. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. So the sounds of the words can go out, but have they really heard it? Have they heard it just past the physical ears? Have they heard it with the inner man? Because the inner man has ears too. The Bible talks about the ears and eyes of the inner man. It talks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, for example. So eyes and ears have to be open in the inner man. Verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. In other words, in verse 21, and we know that even to this day, Israel, natural Israel, has not responded fully to the gospel. There's some Jews who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's the vast majority who have not to this day believed. There is coming a time where there will be a great national believing of the nation of Israel, but at this present time we know that, and God has stretched forth his hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What's he saying? He's saying he has presented his word constantly throughout history. You can read right through the Old Testament, you'll see that's the case. But you'll also see the case that there was disobedience constantly and there was gainsaying. What's gainsaying? Gainsaying is speaking against it or making excuses why you can't do it. And that's what God is saying here. To Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know, the Bible tells us something very sad in John 1:12. It says that Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. That tells us something, doesn't it? It says that people have to receive. They have to receive. And as the word of God comes, they have to receive that. And when people receive that, that means that they're going to start to hear it. And as they hear it and they believe it, then they'll start to act on it. And that's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Disciples are people of action. They're not people who don't do any action. They're people of action, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that, didn't he? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's action. That's action. And we know that God can stretch forth his hands constantly to people, and some people will never respond. Some people might respond to the gospel and be born again, but then they don't want to give up certain areas of their life, and they resist God, and they stay stunted in their growth. They don't get nourished because they resist. So let's remember today that there is a process. There is a way. God brings his word. He sends people, as it says in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, who are they sent by? They're sent by God. The Bible tells us, for example, in Ephesians 4, that God gives gifts to the body of Christ. And it lists the gifts, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so on. So he gives gifts. He sends people. And God will send you, if you're open to him, to others to speak his word. He'll send you. Because it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? If you're not sent, you won't preach. If you don't preach, they won't hear. If they don't hear, they won't believe. If they don't believe, they won't act. We must see the progression that God has set down here. So the word of God in our heart and in our mouth is important for us to think about and to see. Because the action that God wants is a result of the word coming, being heard, believed upon, and taken, received. Remember what we said before about being about receiving. We can receive things by faith. We can receive things by faith. We can be people that are open, and there's others who might be resistant. But let's us, all of us, make a decision in our hearts, even today, that we're going to be people that are open to God's word, open to receive, and there's many, many things that the Lord wants to get to us and to get through us as well to other people. There might be, God may be sending you to your next door neighbour. He might be saying you need to speak a word to that person. And you know, God may be speaking to many people. As we know, he spoke to the whole nation of Israel, stretched forth his hand, but they were disobedient, gainsaying. They wouldn't respond. Let's not be people that aren't responding. You know, Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. Let's be people that are listening and hearing what Jesus has to say to us, what God has to say to us. I want to close today with Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. And we've heard this before. I want it to ring in our hearts, in the ears of our inner man. I want this to ring in the ears of our inner man this week. Let's think about it. Let's listen to it. Let's expose ourselves to the Word of God as much as possible. We can hear the Word of God now very easily on CDs, coming to services. And the fact is, God opens up and has opened up the Word of God even more easily for people if they only make a decision. It's available. It's available now, I believe, more than ever in history. The opening up of the internet, for example, has made available tremendous amounts for the people of God. Tremendous amounts. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're going to come to God, you've got to believe that he is, that he exists, that he is what he says he is in the Bible. Okay? If he says that he is your strength, you believe that. If he says that he is your deliverer, you believe that. Or your healer, you believe that. You've got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. diligently seek Him. Well, diligence is not just 5 minutes a day. It's a continual thing in our lives. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We must be people that please God because we love God with all our heart, all our soul and all our strength. Praise the Lord. That's the first commandment. That's the one. And Jesus said very clearly, keep my words. Continue in my word. So we must be people that are people of faith, with the word of faith in our mouth and in our heart. And it's a determination in us to make that decision. Because without faith it's impossible to please Him. And there are many on the earth today who are not pleasing God at all because they have forsaken the faith way or rejected it or have not heard it or do not want to hear it. But praise the Lord, we don't have to be like that. And we need to reach out to others and to speak to others. Praise the Lord. And think of when you first had the Word of God presented to you. You're not necessarily going to believe it straight away, are you? Sometimes it needs to be persistent. You know, your neighbour might not necessarily believe what you have to say straight away. But remember the royal law, love thy neighbour as thyself. And think of what would you have wanted at that time? Would you have wanted the person who presented the word to you to give up straight away and say, oh, well, I've said to them once and that's enough? Or to be persistent until you and see whether there is an opening? Because who knows? The Lord, if you pray, the Lord can open up people. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for the word of faith, the word of God that you've given us. Lord, you've shown us a very clear way ahead. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would be people that continue in the word of God and that in our hearts we determine to hear and believe. And Father, I pray that all of us would grow and increase and be nourished and strengthened in you. Help every person here, Lord. Help us to be witnesses of Christ, to speak the word even when it may be difficult, to be persistent, to continue. Lord, I pray that all of us would be people that you use for your glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Glory to God. We hear your word. We hear you, Lord. But the people of God take heart. That the people of God know the truth. That the people of God persist. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy in our lives. That our cup runneth over. And goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.